Hey, listeners, ever have trouble getting someone on the phone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts.
Our producer, Sean, is a big Mint Mobile guy. Here's what he had to say.
For a fraction of the cost, Mint Mobile proved to have excellent coverage with no drop calls or unsent texts. Plus, they make it super easy for me to activate my device just by following a few simple steps online. And bam, done. It was great.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/literally. That's mintmobile.com/literally and cut your wireless bills to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/literally. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Look at you. Are you 25 or 26?
You look like a spring chicken.
Spring chicken is good eating, but they're very small.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Literally. It is I, Rob Lou. If you'd ever told my, let's say, 13-year-old self that I would be interviewing William Shatner, my 13-year-old self would have said, beam me up, Scotty. That's not going to happen. But the day has arrived. William Shatner is now 90 years old. He has been an icon my entire life. He is a true Renaissance man, song and dance, Shakespearean actor, author, one-man show, iconic television actor, you name it, he's done it. His body of work is so insane, so obscure. Some of it is so random and yet classic. Seven decades, his career spans. Seven decades. And he has a new book out right now called Boldly Go, Reflections on a Life of Awe and Wonder. I mean, the guy is, he's amazing. This is a fun one. I don't even want to use the phrase at your age because it sounds vaguely condescending. I mean it totally with a
nothing but vaguely condescending.
It's just condescending.
Condescending.
Okay. Well, the last time I saw you, I think we were doing this amazing Shakespearean reading. Do you remember this? For Tom Hanks's charity?
Oh, I did several. I did many over the years.
Yeah, I only did one. It was many, many years ago. But we did, I think you were playing Bottom. So that would have been Midsummer Night's Dream. Is that what it would have been?
Yeah, I believe so.
Tom Hanks and his wife Rita support the LA Shakespeare.
Yeah, yeah. So we would all meet once a year for the day. At UCLA and at the performance hall. So we'd rehearse some in the morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning. And then at 7 o'clock at night, the doors would open and the audience would come in. And we'd hold our scripts and give a full performance of a Shakespeare play. Branagh?
Ken Branagh?
Was he there that time you were there?
Yes. The version I was at, I can't imagine. I mean, it was Geoffrey Rush, Ken Branagh, you, Tracy Ullman, Zach Braff, Christina Applegate.
My God, what a memory. That's incredible, man.
Well, because it was so star-studded. Like, Kate Hudson.
Jeez.
I mean, Tom Hanks, Rita.
Yeah.
And Natalie Cole.
Yeah, you know, it's totally gone from my mind, except every so often I hit a good note, and I remember some of those notes, you know.
Mm.
I mean, I hit a musical note in the Shakespeare thing that, that was all right.
Well, you started at Stratford, I realized, as I was doing a little look back at your early career. You were an understudy at Stratford, correct?
Well, I was part of the Stratford Company a year after they opened.
No way. So literally the famous Stratford had only been up 1 year?
Well, they asked me to be there the first year. Well, I thought, there's some stupid company going to be at this town of Stratford, Ontario.
Yeah, that's never going to go anywhere.
That's never going to go anywhere. And why am I going to waste my time? And
I
got a job in the summer theater anyway. So I turned them down, and then it was a smash success. I'll come back. I'll be there next year.
You saw some amazing people come through, correct?
That was one of the joys, to see these incredible actors, and some that the audience, that the American audience doesn't know. Frederick Volk was a great German actor who played Shylock. His whole career, not whole, but for a long time, his career was based on doing Shylock, I presume both in English and certainly German. Maybe he had other languages, but he made a career of Shylock.
When you were an understudy, who did you understudy?
Well, what you do there is, if you're not the leading light, you play a part and you understudy.
Right.
So I played whatever I played in those years and was assigned a leading part to learn and to go in. And of course, nobody ever goes in. I mean, right. When was the last time? The only time I've ever heard, exactly. I was there when what's her name went on in Pajama Game and became a star. And she was superb. And
the star never came back?
Well, the star came back. It's not like like football. That poor guy. What's his name? Never came back. And has a winery now. I understudied Chris Plummer.
And my info has Alec Guinness, James Mason, Anthony Quayle.
All those guys came.
Wow.
But what you do in one of those kind of acting companies, you rehearse a play for 3 or 4 weeks, and then it goes on. Now you've got that play in rotation, and now you rehearse another play for 3 or 4 weeks, and that goes on, and then you rehearse another play. So Henry V went on first, and I was the understudy. But understudy rehearsals would be held after 3 or 4 plays. 3 or 4 months went by, their schedule was to rehearse the understudies. So this famous director said, "All right, Shatner, you're going to understudy Plummer." "Oh, okay, I'm going to do Henry V." Nobody learns the lines. I mean, why do you learn the lines? Nobody goes on, and its rehearsals are on 3 or 4 months. I'll take my time. But this thing my book is about,
yes,
Boldly Go, is about how I think. Now watch me control my dog by
Boldly Go into your dog's brain.
Macchiato, stop barking.
Well done.
See?
Power. That was some Shatner-esque.
That's right.
Command.
So my book, Boldly Go, is about our connection to the universe and how I think the universe can look after us if we are aware, whether it's prayer, meditation, whatever it is. I mostly, I think it's awareness of how we're tied into the universe. So something niggled at me. And so you better learn the lines. So in addition to playing a part during the day from 10 till 4 and then going on at night, I started to learn the lines in this 8x10 little bedroom I had, pacing back and forth and learning words, great, these huge speeches, once more into the breach and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
About a week after we opened, Plummer got kidney stones. He went into the hospital. Somebody tapped me on the shoulder that afternoon and said, could you, Guthrie wants to talk to you. So I went to see Tyrone Guthrie. He says, can you go on? I said, what? I don't even know the names of the actors. Can you go on? I never hear.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So I went on. I didn't know the choreography. I you know, I had never said the words out loud. I didn't know the name. You know, who are these actors? I'd only been there a few weeks.
That sounds like a reoccurring nightmare that I have, that I think all actors have.
Exactly. And the nightmare came true because the play goes on and on with these great speeches. And then at the very end, there's a like a musical coda. And the King Henry V visits with the French princess. And he says, you know, you're very pretty and I'd like to marry you. And she says, well, I don't know. And then the play ends. When I got through all those big speeches and I was at the little tag ending, essentially, my mind went out. I didn't know what to, I went blank. There was a guy playing my part that I moved out of, the brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, the only person I know who knows what the words are, because we had a thrust stage and I couldn't seek help from the stage manager because he was way back there. I went over to my brother, put my arm around my brother at the end of the battle. And I said, what do I say? And he looked at me and he went, and I went, what? And then I walked back. The lines came to me. I finished the play and I was out of there.
Oh, I have such anxiety in my belly hearing that. I can't, but it's also exhilarating.
Well, imagine being able to tell that story and getting these great reviews the next day, because the critics were still there. The next day, the papers were filled. Understudy goes on. And I have this story that I've told innumerable times and I've hastened through it because we have a limit amount of time. So that's a story about how it's possible that the universe takes care of you. It has taken care of me, and I failed, essentially, on my first musical album. And a few months ago, I performed at the Kennedy Center to songs that Robert Cherno and I wrote, 70-piece orchestra behind me. I do an hour's entertainment. People are screaming of music, dang. It's going to be a television show, I suppose, live at the Kennedy Center, an album that the London Symphony Orchestra has picked up. And, but this is the most important part, one of the songs, and what I thought of then as the big song entitled So Fragile, So Blue, about my trip to space and what we are missing. I'm going to make it into a music video. Rob, you're going to be one of the people on the music video. Because the music videos, what can we do about the destruction of our world?
You spoke very movingly about your trip to space, and it's so counterintuitive, I feel, what you were left with when you came back. You were in sort of profound grief, seeing our, as you say, our fragile blue little planet and it being in such jeopardy. And it sounds like it's completely ignited more creative passion.
I've always been an ecologist.
First of all, do you think I'm going to get a chance to go to space?
Yeah.
Do you think I'm going to live long enough where it'll be like going up in a hot air balloon?
Right now, you got to pay a lot of money, but there'll come a time when it'll be like perfunctory. Yeah. Because what Bezos is after is to get industry up into space, polluting industry. And then people live up there, work up there, and how easily, man, nature revives itself. Chesapeake Bay was polluted. They couldn't fish anymore in it.
Yep.
They left it alone for 20 years. It came back. They're
it's unbelievable. And you see that all the time, Billy. White sea bass were almost extinct. And my son is a big fisherman, among other things. And if you just leave it alone, it, most things will come back in spades. But it requires people wanting to do it.
It requires leaving it alone.
Yes. Tell me about the liftoff. Tell me about the G-forces. What do we have to look forward to when we all get to go to space?
There's a dial. You're lying back like this. You're lying like you are right now, a little further back. And they've kind of rehearsed you with sound and the chair. because you got to get back into that seat after you're in weightlessness. And you think, all right, so I just put the and 5-point harness. But when you lean back on a 5-point harness, I know you drive fast cars. So you've been chook, 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 like I do. See, I'm set to go. And you tighten it down. You tighten it down. You're ready to go. So now you're like, okay, 5-point harness. I got the left arm, but I float into the left arm. I got the right arm on. I got them okay. I got the waist. Now you got the between the legs attachment. So now you're lying back like this, and you got to put that in the hole where it belongs. And you can't find the hole because you're back there and you're going, and they're saying, I got left off, guys, got one. And you're,
oh no. Are you hearing a countdown in your head?
You're hearing a countdown on the loudspeaker. T minus 15, T minus 14. And then what happened was, hold the countdown. There's an allele.
What's an allele? An animal?
Something's gone wrong that doesn't belong there.
An allele.
That's the animal. Well, it might be an animal. Yeah. And I thought, oh my God. And then what happened was the guys, okay, we got it. We can continue the countdown. All right, we're going to remove the gantry now. And this is what he said. And if anybody wants to get off, now's the time. I thought, okay, I'll go.
Did they have an escape pod, like shoots you off if it goes to hell?
Yeah, they do. In fact, my understanding was they were rehearsing something or other, and something went wrong, and the pod was nobody in it. The escape pod, the pod containing the astronauts, went off and the parachutes down, and everything worked. So there was a certain sense of security there. On the other hand, they must have felt that about the Hindenburg.
And the Titanic.
You never know what's going to go on, which is referring to human error.
So the G's hit you, the G-force.
The G-forces hit you on the way up.
Yes.
I tried to raise my arm. No, I couldn't raise my arm. Boom, you're at the Kármán line. Suddenly everything's released. Now you're weightless. And everybody else was like, oh, weightless, weightless. And I went to the window to see what was going on. And then on the way down, there's more. And you more weightlessness, about 7 Gs. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope I can survive this.
Are you seeing flames through the window as you're re-entering?
No.
You didn't say that with a lot of conviction, Bill.
Well, I was trying to remember.
when you say flames, what exactly?
When you say flames, what do you mean by flames? Do you mean burning tiles?
Yes. Yes.
No, but actually you haven't got a chance because to look for flames because you're pressed back in that seat so securely.
Is there noise?
Oh my God, thunderous. Noise. Thunderous noise, a lot of banging and booming, which is what they tried to prepare you for.
Oh,
so they played like sound things. Mm-hmm. And none of it came anywhere near what the sound was really like. It was overwhelming, fearful. You know, it's what's wild for me is to watch you, like, all these questions are swimming in your head.
Yes.
You've got to pick the first one out, yeah.
I can't, because it truly is a remarkable, remarkable experience that you got to have that I can't even begin to that I want to have, that I can't even begin to.
I was sure if you made it known that you'd go up there, because they send them up every so often.
Oh, I would go in 2 minutes. And then when you land, I remember, we always, when I was a kid, all the Apollos and things like that, we always landed in the ocean, and I was blown away that the Russians would land in Siberia. But the ocean is every bit as hard to land on as land is, and then you face drowning. So it's better to land on land, correct?
Well, I think the water's a little more giving. I know that the water's like concrete.
Yeah.
But the landing, they've got the rocket, comes back to Earth, upright. They got that technology. Parachutes deploy, and you come down, and when you're within a very few feet, rockets go off to cushion the fall, and you land. It's barely a bump.
That's insane. I mean, we've all seen the videos of it, obviously, but it's just absolutely beyond. That to me is the most impressive part of it, and all of it is.
Well, imagine this rocket thing, and the big rockets are much taller and more prone to fall off balance, SpaceX's rockets come back and they land upright. It's phenomenal.
I have so many questions. It literally boggles the mind. I've done a lot of podcasts, so I have a lot of questions and stuff. But this getting you talking about space is definitely up there in the top, the pantheon.
What? How many? Top what?
Top
two,
five.
One? Five. You've done five better podcasts than this one?
Talking to you about space is that would have to be one and two. Or just one. It's just one. Where else can you go surfing and skiing in the same day? Or check out a world-class art museum and camp out under a brilliant night sky same day? Or hike through the redwoods and get a luxury spa treatment? There's only one answer: California. No matter where you go across this state, you will find a way to play. I love California. And I have not yet surfed and skied in the same day, although I do both. So that is on my bucket list. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today.
Thanks to Quince, I can get high-end, versatile pieces at fantastic prices. They've got killer luxury essentials that are perfect for my wardrobe. Quince has all the must-haves, like Mongolian cashmere crewneck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. One of my producers tried Quince, and here's what he had to say.
I'm really excited to revamp my closet with Quince. There are so many great options at pretty unbeatable prices. I'm really excited to try out the burgundy cashmere crewneck. I love the blue chore jacket. Maybe I'll throw some joggers in there. These are great options at pretty unbeatable prices.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/rob for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/rob to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/rob.
I love fast cars, but there aren't a ton of high-performance EVs. They're certainly out here there. But when I get a chance to get behind the wheel of one, I love it. And I was blown away by the Kia EV6 GT. When you get behind the wheel of the Kia, it is literally like being in a state-of-the-art rocket ship, but also comfortable. The thing goes from 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. It is the premium driving experience. And of course, it's an EV. So the climate thanks you. SiriusXM provides access to over 165 channels in the vehicle. Music, sports, news, comedy, yacht rock. Let's go. Little Steely Dan going in your Kia. Come on now. So check it out today. It is the all-electric Kia EV6 GT. I had a blast checking it out. Believe me, you should do it yourself via kia.com/EV6. To learn more, that is kia.com/EV6. Kia, movement that inspires. Do you have any of your velour Captain Kirk tops around? Because you brought velour, and it was velour, right? I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Why does no one wear velour anymore?
Velour has lost its allure, I guess.
Velour.
You know, you have to not eat lunch.
How did you stay in such good shape through that run? Because that was like you were wearing tight velour.
Oh, for 3 years. You know, should I eat that for lunch or should I not?
Nowhere to hide. You're a big, like I am, I'm very much interested in new physics and things like that.
Very much so.
How did you find your way into interest in that field?
Not so long ago, I was given a Lifetime Achievement Award. And I said, well, what do you, who gets a lifetime? Anybody who lives, anybody who exists should get a lifetime achievement.
That's an achievement. You've achieved a lifetime.
Exactly. It's exactly my thought. Exactly what I said. I mean, if you live more than 3 years old, I mean, you're doing a really good job. So what's worth a lifetime achievement? That you did a good part, you played thing, you did a good podcast. If you do a number one podcast, maybe that's a lifetime achievement. But other than that, so I said, maybe if I was to commend myself about a lifetime achievement, I would say that I've spent my lifetime trying to hold on to the inner child.
Mm.
That curious 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old child that dwells in all of us. Many actors, it exists in the forefront. And then some of us are able to bank it a little, but that curiosity about everything, like, wow, why is the sky blue? Mm-hmm. Why, you know, how does this technology work? We take it for granted. If that's inexplicable, what about a black hole or a snail?
I'm obsessed with time. I'm obsessed with...
I am too. How old are you?
58. And it's not, and funny, I'm not obsessed with, I don't think that I'm obsessed with time because it's a function or a result of me growing older and thinking about mortality, although that's probably part of it. It's just that our lack of understanding, or should I say our new understanding of what time is and isn't, it just blows me away. I can't get enough.
So are you referring to time-space?
Yeah, space-time.
Yeah.
Non-linear, that time is not linear.
I don't understand that. Do you understand that?
I don't think that we are capable. I'm not smart enough, certainly, to be capable.
Yeah, but I mean, no, everybody's smart enough. I mean, nobody has a brain that doesn't, I mean, the average person could, if it were explained properly. For example, part of that explanation is that things slow down at speed of light, okay? So that if we were astronauts going at the speed of light, there'd be no passage of time.
It's insane.
So my question is to any scientist, does that mean your heart stops? Do your telomeres not grow old? I mean, what happens? Time slows down, but doesn't your body continue to operate if it isn't 24 hours, which is an Earth-made thing, can you measure time by your heartbeat?
Well, how about this? What obsesses me is the notion that there actually is no future, there's no separate future, past, or present, that the time is nonlinear, so the past is now, the future is now. We're in a dimension where we can only—
That's all very well. I think, yo, it's great. Listen to that. Well, that's very educated. Explain to me why the telescope, why the Hubble, and now, of course, the Webb, the Hubble can see 13.8 billion light years into the universe. And the farthest grouping of stars they can see is 13.8 billion light years. And it took 13.8 billion light years to come to our retina. So this guy on the Hubble, oh, look at that, it's 13.8 billion light years. I can tell that by the redshift. So far, so good?
Yep.
Okay. That's 13.8 billion light years. So you've measured time. It's taken 13.8 billion light years for that constellation, that grouping of stars, to go in that direction. Of course, it's taken that amount of time to reach your eye, so it's now 27.8, you know, whatever the multiple is. If it's 13, it was there 13.8 billion light years ago. 13.8 billion light years later, where is it now?
Right.
And you're measuring time. So yes. Don't tell me time doesn't exist. We're using time as a proof of how old the universe is.
Oh yeah, it's
so. How do you explain that?
One, that is one of the three elements of time. That is in our dimension understanding of time. That is a linear measurement of truth. But we all know in quantum physics that it's not linear. So on some other plane, that it's circular. It sounds like I've smoked a lot of pot right now, I admit. This is the kind of thing that we should be listening to Jethro Tull and just talking.
What it sounds like is everybody else who have asked to explain it
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. I've had arguments, faux arguments. What are you talking about? How can you measure it when there's all this dark matter?
Yeah, what does he say?
And everything else. 90% of the universe is made of dark matter. And not only we call it dark matter because we don't know what it is. We don't know whether it's a structure. We don't know whether it's a cloud. We don't know. We don't know anything about it. But 90% or more of the universe is composed of something we don't know what it is.
Yep.
How do we measure things? How do you say, well, it's 100 yards from here? How do you know that when there's a great cloud, a great curtain between you and what you're measuring, and you don't even know what it is you're measuring?
What does he say?
He's like, I'm not going to argue with you, Captain Kirk.
Right, exactly. You know, and he laughs, and he's got a reasonable explanation, which I don't understand. It's simply inexplicable.
Okay, here's my other obsession. Are you as obsessed with the CERN as I am?
With the what?
The super collider.
The CERN collider?
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm obsessed with it because bang, and everything flies off into oil. But
because they're discovering the God particle, they call it, and all of that. I mean, it's just
Higgs boson.
Wait a minute. I know we're going to go down. Well, we are in this rabbit hole. We're down the rabbit. We're in the wormhole, which is great. But I need to just jump out of it because we're going to go back to it. I know because I'm obsessed with this. But I need to know, am I insane when I was watching Boston Legal? I'm going to go back to Chavez for a minute, which you're a genius in with my good friend James Spader.
I love James.
The best, right?
Oh.
The best. You guys would end every episode on the roof smoking cigars. And I'm telling you, I saw an episode. You tell me if I'm imagining this. Where you walked up on the roof, he walked up there, he turned and looked at you and took a big drag of the cigar and he says, where have you been? I haven't seen you all episode.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I was there.
Did you ever break the fourth wall like that, or am I losing my mind?
All right. No, here's what happened on another occasion, and you explain it to me. David E. Kelly.
Yes, the great.
Wrote most of the scripts. So he had this character I was playing say, cue the music to the director. Well, do I say it to camera? Do I say it to the guy I'm playing with? I mean, who do I say it to? I fumbled around. On the last episode, Kelly writes for this character to say, I've always thought of my life as a television show. Of course. He's living in a television show of his own making, and he hears, cue the music and play the love song. And that was the explanation, but it came towards at the end of the journey. So I don't think he ever said, I've been waiting for you all episode.
I'm telling you.
He is crazy enough to have written it, and I don't remember it.
Listen, one of the things I love about you is you're so fun to talk to, and you're so curious and interesting and love to speak and speak well. James Spader is equal. I'm surprised between the two of you got any work done, because my man Spader likes to talk too.
I'd love to. Have you interviewed him?
I have not yet. He's on our list. I'm dying to. We will get him.
Is he a friend of yours?
Yeah, we did a movie called Bad Influence together.
How long ago?
1990.
So that's 30 years ago.
Yes.
I spent 5 years with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was this wonderful guy. I just admired him so much.
Mm.
And when we left, said, God, we've got to have dinner. Yeah, man, we've got to have dinner. And those are the last words I ever spoke to him. It's the truth.
He is a true eccentric.
I forgot what the conversation was, but he pretended to smoke a weed and smell flowers. He smelled the flowers. And then he did something with his face that to this day, and what was that, at least that 5 years ago, 6 years ago? To this day, I laugh at what he did portraying a guy under the influence smelling flowers. Was brilliant beyond.
Did you see him when he showed up on The Office? You will lose your mind. It's the weirdest, most bizarre, amazing, riveting. It like both did not work at all, and at the same time worked magnificently. Wow. If that's possible, does that make sense?
No, you have to choose.
No, but in quantum. But Bill, I'm saying. In my view of time, it worked well and didn't work at all at the same time.
So they both exist.
Yes, everything exists, everything.
Quantum mechanics, isn't it?
Yes.
Two things can exist at the same time. It can appear and disappear.
That's what I'm saying. So there's a version where Star Trek ran for 17 seasons. Still going, you're still playing it in the Valour. You're still doing it.
Transform your bathroom cleaning with Wet and Forget weekly shower cleaner. You just spray today and rinse tomorrow for a no-scrub clean. With over 33,000 five-star reviews, this is your once-a-week solution to keeping your tub and shower surfaces sparkling clean. Available at Amazon, Lowe's, Menards, Home Depot, and Ace Hardware. Join thousands who've switched to an easier clean. Get your Wet and Forget weekly shower cleaner today and make your bathroom sparkle with zero scrubbing.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Did you ever meet Lucille Ball?
I did.
People forget Lucille Ball, production company, made Star Trek.
Desilu, yeah. We were in the Desilu part of Paramount, which shortly thereafter they tore down the wall.
Did you meet Desi?
I don't think so. But the son-in-law and the daughter, I got to know. I directed the son-in-law in the movie. He was wonderful. Lawrence Luckenbill.
Now, I feel like Star Trek and Lost in Space are the Beatles and the Rolling Stones of space television.
That's good. I've never heard that before. Although Lost in Space, the producer of my show called The Unexplained, he was a brilliant man, Kevin Burns, who loved Lost in Space, had all the paraphernalia, knew the guy, the gentleman who played the lead.
Jonathan Harris.
And knew him very well. And Kenneth Burns was brilliant. How he could love that and Star Trek at the same time.
I know. They're not comparable, but in today's world where everybody has a crossover episode and actors cross-pollinate each other's, I would have given anything for you to beam down on a planet and run into Dr. Smith and that robot. I would have given anything.
That was all so facetious, wasn't it? I mean, he was talking like that.
I think
Captain Kirk would have stunned him with a gun.
You guys were dealing with lofty, very lofty themes, and they were chasing around guys in giant potato man suits. It was just...
That's really what I mean.
I wanted to have a phaser so badly, and the only way you could... This is how funny merchandising has come. Can you imagine? You could not buy a phaser as a kid. No one sold them. The only way you could get it when I was a kid was a model, and you had to make it. And I'm the least handsy, hands-on person imaginable. I'd have glue everywhere and burn my finger. There's no way I could have, airplane glue, couldn't have done it. But that was the only way you could buy a phaser. And then nuts, like today, you know, there'd be 1,000 of them. You'd be able to buy every single thing you ever had.
Well, there are, you know, all these sales and things like that, where people make a lot of money on it. No, I do not have any paraphernalia whatsoever. Whatsoever of Star Trek.
Wouldn't you go down that road? Where does it end?
Well, not only where does it end, why would you start in the first place? I'm on for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And, oh, you're canceled now. Okay. So why would you take something with you? And you think, oh, geez. You know, it was never very popular, never greatly popular to begin with. 3 years of declining ratings. And finally, they put us on a Friday night at 10 o'clock and then, well, goodbye, goodbye. And that was the end of it for 6 years. 6 years later, it goes into syndication and becomes popular.
Which really shows you never know.
You never know. Let me tell you about something you never know. So I said, okay, I'll do an album. So I said, here's my concept. I'll do pieces of classic literature and we'll put write music underneath it and then segue into a song of that day, which was, had the lyric of which was good and was the literature of the day. Mm-hmm. So for example, to be or not to be, whether the character Hamlet wants to live or not live, segues into, it was a very good year where the guy is saying, when I was 21 and when I was 30, and it's a good, very good year. Mm-hmm. So this guy wants to die, this guy wants to live. And I thought, and so there's music there. And I thought, that's a good. So I did Cyrano de Bergerac. The speech ends, one of his speeches ends, I may climb to no great heights, but I will climb alone. Climb alone, segue into a drug song where you can't climb alone, where you need the help of a drug.
I love it. Makes perfect sense to me.
Okay, makes common sense. So now I'm on the Johnny Carson show, and I'm rehearsing, and the producer, Freddie de Cordova, comes up and says, Bill, it's just 6 minutes long. You can only do 3 minutes. You want to do the literature or you want to do the song? I'm, oh, guess I'll do the song. So now I'm doing a song out of nowhere. Listen, the sky was down. And I look over at him, and he goes, what the fuck?
Amazing.
And everybody laughed. And so it never did very well. But 30 years later, Ben Folds hears it, calls me, want to work with you. I do a number on his album. The album is successful. The number is successful. I'm back in the music business. I start doing albums. And two of my albums went number one, a blues album, Christmas album. And I'm finding out how to do this thing of singing without being able to sing, mm-hmm. but I have a sense of poetry and I'm doing the poetry with music and I'm there and it's working. And then, as I say, I get to Kennedy Center and the whole thing, the arc works. The universe is taking care of me.
Your inner child is alive and well. So you're curious, you don't give up. You follow your muse where it leads you, and you do it long enough and it's going to all take care of itself, I think. Let me ask you this. I always love this when I read certain actors' interviews, or a lot of times they'll be young actors and they talk about their career plan and things like that.
What the hell's a career plan? Like you can conduct your life like you have a plan in life. That's incredible that you should say that. I've said the exact same words. I have a career plan. It's a sideways move for my career. What?
Right? Look at all you young actors out there. This is William Shatner. No career plan. Okay? What does it tell you?
Say work is the career plan.
Yes.
Don't do something that's detrimental, but say yes to something as well. I don't know whether go for it. What the hell?
And you know who else says the same thing is a wonderful man I'm sure you've run across in the day is Michael Caine.
You know, I haven't. I think I've nodded in his direction. But does he say that?
I had a great lunch with him about 3 years ago, and we were talking about things. And
why did you have a lunch with him?
I was in London working. He was in London, and we had nodded at each other over the years.
Right.
And we decided, let's get together and have a lunch. And he said, you know, he said this great thing. He said, when I came up in the business, he said, I was not the best actor of my contemporaries. I wasn't the best looking, and I wasn't the hottest or most sought after. But I saw people get fussy about their choices and they didn't work enough and they forgot how to act. I saw others drink their careers away. And I just said yes and plodded around and did my thing. And now I'm the guy. If something appealed to him, even on the tiniest level, he did it. as opposed to what does it mean for my career and what does that say about me? And the last thing I did was a comedy, so should I do another comedy? Or I've done 5 Westerns in a row, so should I do a sit? All that bullshit. Such bullshit.
So glad to hear you say that. I rarely hear an actor who knows what he's talking about say that. And that's wonderful, wonderful. Because I woke up yesterday, and I've agreed to do 2 things. World Wrestling Federation and I, we've had a history. And Snoop Dogg. So they said, we've got this award that we're giving Snoop Dogg. It's a belt. We want you to talk to the belt. And I thought, I could read the dedication from my book and playing to the live belt, which is going to be presented to Snoop. I mean, it just works.
Listen, it's like, so Seth MacFarlane is a friend. He created Family Guy, and he has his...
I know Seth.
And yeah. You know Seth because he's obsessed with you and obsessed with Star Trek. You know
yeah.
he is.
Yeah.
So the Orville, the pilot script, he sends to me. He said to me, I have a part I've written for you to come in and do if you want to do it. It's super fun. You would play a blue alien who ejaculates out of his forehead. And I said, I'm in. I'm in. I'm not thinking about what does it say about my career and, you know, does it make it? None of it.
Mostly blues ejaculate through their ear.
Yes, I know. Most blue. You must know a lot about aliens. Do you believe in aliens? You must.
What does that mean, believe in aliens? What is that? What is the meaning of your question?
Okay, let me rephrase it. You certainly must believe that we are not the only species in the universe.
Statistically, it's impossible
yes.
that we're the only ones. Just it doesn't make sense. The billions upon billions of planets that will have some combination of what we have or not. They don't need oxygen and hydrogen to live. They could live underwater. They could live with methane. I mean, it's just impossible that we're the only ones. It's got to be. And life, the way life has this imperative to under a rock, under the sun, in a cave, and life is a dynamic. Life is all over the universe. How could we be the only ones?
Of course. Of course.
So aliens. Yes, aliens exist, but I don't think they've come circling this planet in a vehicle, being shy about landing on the lawn of the White House.
If they wanted to do it, they'd do it. I love how driven you remain. I love it. It's so inspiring.
Well, that's my job.
Gosh, I wish y'all could have seen him. His energy, that is so inspiring. I'm so pumped right now. It's such a great takeaway, such a gift to get that. I mean, you know, there are so few like mentors out there. And to have somebody like Shatner who's seen and done it all give you a nugget like that, super special. You got questions? I got answers. Let's hit the lowdown line.
Hello, you've reached Literally in our lowdown line, where you can get the lowdown on all things about me, Rob Lowe. 323-570-4551. So have at it. Here's the beep.
Mr. Lowe, my name is Brian from St. Paul, Minnesota. Big fan of your movies, huge fan of Mr. Traeger, and a huge fan of 911. So when I heard you were going to be in your own version in the 911-averse, I was very excited. My question is related to the 911 show. I'm curious how many of the calls in the 911 office and the calls that the fire crew go out to, how much of it is made up and how much of it is based on real life? Thanks so much. Have a great day. Can't wait to hear the next step.
Hey, Brian. I'm glad you're loving Lone Star. We have a blast doing it. Yeah, almost all of the calls and the rescues are based in reality. The writers spend a lot of time culling over news reports, and they're always obviously looking for something that's odd or different or things like that. But everything's based in reality. Everything's based in something that's happened. And then, of course, it's the writer's job to add a layer on top of it that makes it even more entertaining or even more bizarre. But yeah, that's the job number one. My son writes on that staff, so they're always looking for something crazy. Anyway, thanks and keep watching.
Hey, listen, I was thinking about this. I hope you guys are going through the little menu of all the past podcasts we've done and looked at them, because there are some great ones. And you should know that these shows are all designed to be evergreens. So it's not like you're going to go back and go, oh, well, that was last year. It's like each interview is designed to be as compelling, whether you listen to it the week it comes out or literally years later. So don't forget, there's some, go back and have a look at all of them, and don't forget to download the rest of the year. And I'm going to see you next week on Literally. Beam me up, Scotty. It's time to go home for lunch.
You've been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe, produced by me, Rob Schulte, with help from associate producer Sarah Bagar. Our research is done by Alyssa Grahl. The podcast is executive produced by Rob Lowe for Low Profile, Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Joanna Solitaroff at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Stitcher. All of the music on this podcast was composed by Devin Bryant. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Literally with Rob Lowe.
This has been a Team Coco production, in association with Stitcher.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.